I just want you to know that I know that it is 18 minutes till 12. Now, I'm telling you that for a couple of reasons. Reason number one is some years ago, I was preaching in the San Diego area, and the pastor there was Pastor Gary McCary, and we were standing in the back there getting ready to walk out, and Pastor McCary said to me, he said, "Pastor Neil," who calls me Brian, he said, "You can preach as long as you want to, but the member's going to leave at 12. So I understand that the members here are going to leave at 11:15, and I'm going to go out the door with you. I just want to let you know I'm hungry and I'm skinny, so we won't go very long. I also need to let you know that they tried to give me the, the one that goes around your head. But history has proven to me that's a mistake. At SoCal, they told me, you got to have it. You're on the radio. You have to have it. And I got to preaching, and when 4 minutes into my sermon, it flew into the third row. So finally they said, no, I have broken many, many of these little devices, so I just stay away from them. But what I will use is that podium there in a moment. If you've noticed in your bulletin, our sermon title, which I appreciate, is on the cover of the bulletin, is sermon number 217. Now, people always ask me, what is sermon number 217? And of course, today, I've been asked twice about sermon 217. Well, let me tell you about sermon 217. It's nothing deep. It's not complicated. Last Sabbath was sermon 216. And next Sabbath is sermon 218. So on, so on, so on. And you wonder why I do this. There's a number of reasons. Number one, as Pastor Gary mentioned already, I've been the youth director for many years. I still feel like one. I still act like one. But I learned that young people remember numbers. I have kids come to me now. I remember sermon number 103. I don't know what sermon 103 is. So I have them explain it to me. But another reason is this. Oftentimes when I stand up for to speak, I look at the audience and the Holy Spirit has me change the sermon. So if I put a number on it, I'll change the sermon and you won't know it. So that covers it all the way. So that's why the next time I come, which I think is in October, we'll probably be up about the 250s, 240s, somewhere around there. Shall we bow our heads just for a moment? Father God, it's good to be here. Teach us right now what you want us to know. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our collective hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the church say with me, amen. About 4 years ago, maybe five, I decided I'd been in the youth department long enough. I decided it was time to get a younger person, smarter, Pastor already reminds you, we thought we were very smart in 1971, 72. He reminded me that really it was 71, 72 that we started. That was 30 years ago, and we both fake it very well. Can I hear amen? So y'all can't tell how old we really are. We just kind of camouflage that thing. Don't say a word, preacher. I hear your brain spinning. But I told Elder Mallory one day, I said, "Elder Mallory, I am too old to be a youth director. It's time to find some young blood in this building." And I never forget, Elder Mallory looked at me, and if you know Elder Mallory, he says, "Well, what do you want to do, Brian?" So I said, wait, you're supposed to tell me what I'm supposed to do. No, this is Southeastern. Just give me some ideas. So I had an idea. I was going to go to Orange County and start, if you ask me, I'll tell you, and we'll do this young adult church, and we'll have a bunch of cross-cultural, and there'll be a black pastor and a Spanish pastor and a white pastor, and then there'll be me. I'm going to pause, let y'all think about that for a moment. And he said, no, you're not going to do that. So I said, why not? He said, there's someone in our conference who's about to retire. And I was wondering if you'd be interested in taking that position. He didn't tell me who. You should know. When somebody makes an offer and don't give you the details, be suspicious. So I said, wait, I'm married. Where are you going? He said, no, I'm okay.
He said the stewardship director is about to retire. How would you like taking a stab at being the stewardship director of the conference?
I immediately said, no way, Jose. Now, let me tell you why I said that. Because, Pastor Gary, I remember when I was a pastor. If you announced to the church ahead of time that the stewardship man was coming next week, people pick next week to visit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because to many Christians, the word stewardship means beg for money. And nobody wants anybody to beg for money. And I know I am not a money beggar. And I hate myself when people... So I said, no, Elder Mallory, I do not want to be the person who drives people away from church. And we talked about it. We talked about it 20 times. Myself and Rudy Carrillo, and I think Yami was part of it. We talked about it 20 times about the change in the youth department and what I was going to end up doing. And one day he said, Brian, I have another idea. He said, you've been explaining to me all year that you believe there's something a little different about our traditional approach to finances, stewardship. You see, I explained to him that I thought we focused a little bit too much on guilt and trauma and not enough on commitment and partnership with God. If you understand that, say amen. I told him all year that I feel that if we're going to have a partnership with God, it must be a committed relationship. And once that you are committed to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your time, your talent, and your money takes care of itself. So you don't need anyone running around the conference begging people to give to the Lord. All you need is someone to remind people that we are partners with Jesus Christ. And this partnership shows up in how you relate to your local church. If you understand that, say amen. And I gave this crazy speech to Elder Mallory, and I will never forget. He stood up. If you know him, back in those days, he had a hard time standing up. He stood up and said, Brian, how about this? Why don't you be the commitment director of the conference? I said, amen. Now you know why and how I became the commitment director of Southeastern California Conference. He took it to the exec committee. They probably didn't know what they were voting on, but they voted unanimously, and I became the commitment director. Then I had to do some homework because I promised myself and God I was not going to use traditional stewardship material. So I went and I did homework, and guess what I discovered? Some exciting things about commitment and a partnership with God. First of all, I discovered that the most often spoken about theme of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had something to do with money and material things. He spoke about that more than he spoke about any other thing. Two-thirds of every parable that Jesus gave was either directly or indirectly tied to our relationship with God financially. Boy, I did not know that. Then I got the second shock of my life. The most often subject discussed in this Bible is also finances and material things. That blew my mind. I discovered that there are over 2,000 verses in your Bible and mine, over 2,000 that deal with money and material things, 2,061 to be exact. Then I discovered that there are only 500 verses in the Bible on prayer and less than 500 verses in the Bible on faith. And we hear a whole lot more sermons on prayer and faith than we hear about money and material things and commitment. Then I begin to wonder, now, why is there so many things in the Bible on finances? And by the way, we're afraid to preach about them. And there is so little about prayer and faith. And I've discovered that the Bible says, basically, where your finances are, what's the rest of that text? There will your heart be also. Whoa, that's deep. I also discovered this. The devil, and I'm going to say this slowly, the devil has learned how to capitalize on finances. He really has. If you don't believe me, you just go home and you look in your 19-year-old, 18-year-old kid's wall. You don't see posters of homeless people on their walls. No, you don't. What do you see? You have posters of the most famous, wealthiest entertainers in the world. About 2 years ago, the number one poster sold in the United States was the poster of, believe it or not, and I was shocked because a lot of people aren't basketball fans, But I was shocked to find out that Shaquille O'Neal is one of the top posters sold in the world. $110 million is what he is, walking corporation per year. Another poster that was high was Jennifer Lopez. $80 million, walking corporation. You go down to Britney Spears. Her poster was number 3 or 4. $50 million, walking corporation. And it goes on and on. And then there's a young man, another basketball player, by the name of Kobe Bryant. Now, he took a trip to Colorado. And I don't know what he's worth since then. It's gone down. But my point is, we adults and young people, whether we say it or not, look up to those who make a lot of money. But yet God knew this. God knew that finances would have an indirect or direct relationship on how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to him. I started doing homework. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. And I discovered a lot there about a partnership with God. Church, my focus today is to get you to understand what it means to have a partnership with God. That's all we're going to do today, a focus on a partnership with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of the amazing things that we all believe, but we never think about what they really mean. Most of us really believe that Jesus has commissioned us to spread his love throughout the world. Most of us really do believe that we are partners with God. The problem with that is we don't really put our money where our mouth is. You see, the Bible says all through the Word that Jesus has promised to bless his church. He says that everywhere. God is here to bless the church. Now, in order for God to bless the church, he must bless you and you and you and me, because we are the church. The problem is there's a formula for receiving this blessing. There's a plan that God has, and most of us have not caught on to the plan. But the plan's in Malachi. You've heard this text many, many times. We've read it for years before we take the offering or after we take the offering. But today we're going to dissect it and decide what it really means to you and I as Christians, and more particularly to the Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church. Go with me in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and look at verse 6 with me. I'm going to just go back and forth through the word here. For I am the Lord, in verse 6 he says, and I change not, therefore ye sons, and I want to say also daughters of Jacob, are not consumed. Funny way to start a text on finances. He basically says, I'm God, therefore those of you who follow me are not dead. But the key to it is I change not. The change not part means that I'm forgiving, I'm forbearing, I'm long-suffering, I'm encouraging, I'm here to make sure you are healthy. And because I do these things, you're still alive. Look at verse 7, the last part. Members of Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church, he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, Lord, how do we return? Here God wants to start a partnership with you and me. It's all about a partnership with God. He says, I want to be your partner. Now, who could be a better partner than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Think about this. Who could be a better partner than he who knows when the stock market's going up and knows when the stock market's going down? Who can be a better partner than he who knows when your teacher loves you and your teacher, may not sure about you? Who could be a better partner than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who knows everything? So in verse 7, he says, members of Corona Seventh Adventist Church, return to me, and I will, not might, I will return to you. But we being human say, Lord, Lord, wait, time out. How do we return to you? And God says, okay, you want to know? I'll tell you how. Look at verse 8. Will a man or a woman rob from who? From God. Wow. Yet ye have robbed from me. But ye say, Lord, where have we robbed from thee? You have stolen from me both tithe and what's the other word? Offerings. I was just inspired by the way you took the offering up this morning. You hit it on the head, young lady, when you said you'd return both tithe and offerings to our Lord. Many people don't know that, but you said it exactly right. Look at this text again. You want a partnership with me? You want to be a faithful partner with me? Look at verse 8. Well, I tell you how. If you're going to be a partner with me, be honest with me. Be straight. You know how partnerships work? Here's how most partnerships work. There are two people in a partnership. One person has the idea or the ability. What does the other one have? the money. Sometimes you partner with the bank because the bank has the money. God says here, members of Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church, I want to be partners with you. I want to have a partnership with you. Now, the problem with partnerships is most of them break down because what? That's right, lack of trust. One partner doesn't do their part. The other partner, either they don't do the work or they don't come through with the money. For some financial reason, most partnerships break up because of a lack of trust. Somebody not doing their part. God says here, I want to be a partnership with you, and we're going to start with finances. He says, be honest with me. Will a man or a woman rob God? Pause for a moment. Let me just give you a true story. Help you understand what the word means, rob God means. Not too long ago, a friend of mine came to me and he said, Brian, by the way, this friend lives right here in Corona. I just remembered that. He said, Brian, I don't know how to tell you this, but my son's been robbing from me or stealing from me for years, at least a year and a half. I said, Fred, by the way, I call everybody in my sermon Fred. Where is Fred? I know Fred's in the building. Fred's a friend of mine. Don't feel bad, Fred. I'm not talking about you. But anyway, I've known Fred forever. But we call everybody Fred. I said, Fred, so Fred's been stealing from him? He said, yes. I said, how has he been stealing from him? He said, I'll tell you how. He said, one day Fred came to me, Fred Jr., and he told me he needed a set of tires. And what he did was, I gave him one of these little gizmos. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He took it down. He went, cha-ching. And he bought his tires. But he forgot to give it back on purpose. And he kept a little card, and my name was Fred, and his name was Fred Jr. So about maybe a month or two later, Fred needed some rims to go with those tires. So guess what Fred did? He went down and he did what? Cha-ching! And he cha-chinged the rims, he cha-chinged the suit, he cha-chinged a ski trip, he cha-chinged and he cha-chinged and he cha-chinged until one day the bank called me. And the bank said, Mr. Fred, there's some funny activity on your account. And Mr. Fred said, oh, there couldn't be. And he looked up, and he checked with his wife, and there was that 1 month or two, $4,000 gone. Now, I said to Mr. Fred, how long did it take you to figure that out? He said, man, it took me about a year. I said, Fred, you make way too much money. If it took you a year to figure out there was $4,000 gone from your account. My son Dominic, some of you know Dominic, tried the same thing. He took out about $400, and I knew it immediately because that's all I had in the bank. Are you with me on that, church? Now, the point here says, will a man or a woman rob God? But do you know sons sometime and daughters steal from parents? But do you know who you shouldn't rob from? There are certain people you just should not rob from. If you have a job you love and you get good benefits and good retirement, you should not steal from your supervisor. Kids, you should not steal from your parents. But you know who you really should not steal from? Woo! I don't think you want to steal from the one force and entity in the world who determines every day whether your heart beats. I don't think you want to steal from the one creature who decides whether your eyes are going to focus in or not. I do not believe we want to steal from God. But the Bible says, will a man or a woman rob from me? And then he answers his own question, yeah, you have. But you say, Lord, how have we been stealing from you? He said, I'll tell you. You've been stealing from me. Tithe, and what's the other one? I'm emphasizing that one for a reason. Now, let's talk about the difference between tithes and the difference between offering. Don't panic. I know what time it is. I'm not getting too comfortable here. Tithe. What is tithe? I am surprised to discover that many Seventh-day Adventists and Christians in general don't know the difference between tithes and offerings. I had a friend tell me recently, I'm a staunch supporter of my church. I said, you are, huh? He said, I give a strong tithe. I always give what the Lord asks for, 10%. I asked, what do you do for offering? What I can. I said, wait a moment. You told me you're a strong supporter of your local church. I am. I said, well, then if you're a strong supporter of your local church, you're deceiving yourselves. He said, what do you mean? I said, because if you give a strong tithe and give a wimpy offering, you are not supporting your church. He said, why not? I said, well, I can tell you why. I said, let me give you some information about the difference between tithe and offering. Now, I'm glad I have Chuck because he can verify what I'm about to tell you now. But if you as a church give a healthy or return a healthy tithe and don't give an equally healthy offering, in one way, you're kind of hurting this church that you think you support so strongly. How do you say that? Because do you know that your school subsidy is based on what? Mostly tithe. So this guy told me, he said, Brian, I give a strong tithe. By the way, you don't give tithe. What do? You return because it belongs to God. So I return a healthy tithe, but I give as I can to offerings. Church, the difference between tithe and offerings is this. Tithe is designed from the beginning by God to support the world work. Tithe covers the salaries of pastors and Bible teachers and missionaries around the world. Tithe is designed to make sure our ministry is strong around this entire globe. Tithe, actually, other than the pastor, the associate pastor, and maybe one, that's about it in most churches. You are not supporting the church. You're supporting the Lord's work when you return a honest tithe. You are a honest partnership with God in spreading his love throughout the world. But the Bible says we've been stealing tithe, and what's the other one? Offerings is basically church budget. If you're in a building program, investment is church budget plus that. But most members don't understand that if you're going to support and be a partnership with God through finances, you're going to have to return an honest tithe and offering. So what do offerings do for this church? It does everything for this church. The Pathfinder program runs off of you paying something to somebody. The lights, the electricity, the evangelism, the young people going around visiting. Anything your church does by way of ministry. All your blessings that you receive from this church are rewarded not through tithe, that blesses the world church, through returning offerings. And I tell people all the time, if you come to this church week after week and God is blessing you and you're receiving what you need spiritually and socially and emotionally, and you're not returning a fair and honest offering, you are stealing from yourself. Because this is God's church. This is your family. This is your home. This is my home. God promises to bless the church. But in order to bless the church, he must first bless who? Bless you. You and I are the church. I want to make sure that you understand the difference now between tithe and offerings. Offerings is church budget. Tithe, it says what it says, 10%. My wife and I return 10% tithe. But you know what we do also? We return 10% offering. Now, in a minute, I'm going to show you from the Word why that's important for me and Esther, and it might be for you. Let's go to the next verse. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed from me even this whole nation. Pause. Not long ago, a friend of mine is a doctor. I called him up. I said, Dr. Fred, I said, I need to come see you. So I got in my car and I shot somewhere, and I won't tell you where because some of you may know this person. And I went into his office and I sat down. And I said, Fred, I'm having a heart attack. And I started telling him what my problem was. He said, Brian, wait. He said, when we get through, could you come down to my other office? We need to talk. So he did whatever he did to me. And I went in. He said, Brian, they tell me you're the commitment director of the conference. I said, I am. He said, now, is that camouflage stewardship? I said, no, that's commitment. We work on commitment. He said, well, let me tell you what I need some help with. He said, Brian, last year I made more money than I've ever made in my life. But he said, in 2 weeks, me and both my lawyers are going downtown to file, guess what? Bankruptcy. He said, I don't understand it. He said, I don't understand how I can make so much money and be so broke. He said, something doesn't match. And I said, Dr. Fred, I see up there on the top of your books there's a Bible. Could you get that Bible? And he reached up there and he gave it to me and I took it. And I blew all the dust off of it. I told him maybe he needed to use it a little more. And we opened it up, and I went through the text I'm reading you right now. When I got to the part, will a man or a woman rob God? Then I got to the part that said, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have been stealing from me even this whole name. He said, halt. He said, in my church, it's a small church in some part of this world. He said, I am the richest person in my church. So nobody knows how much money I make. So I am the chairman of the finance committee. He said, because I'm the richest person in the church, I'm also chairman of the building committee. He said, they have put me way up high because I pay more tithe than anybody in the church. I return more. My offerings are strong, but he said, you know what? I'm stealing from God. I know I return only a token tithe. I return just enough to let the members know I'm rich, basically what he said to me. And he said, I get rewarded by being placed on every committee in the church. But he said, I see what's going on here. The Bible says you are cursed with a curse. He said, Brian, every investment I got into this year, it just looked like God just said, whew. And he said he blew and blew and blew everything away. And he and I started doing some research. Now, let me tell you what this doctor did. This doctor, from that moment, made a commitment in his office. We prayed about it, and we joined hands, and we made a commitment that he was going to be honest and fair with God. I'm going to tell you what. He has gone from bankruptcy to a whole nother world financially. His blessings have been unbelievable. Now, God is not Santa Claus. God doesn't run around on a sled and carry out presents that way. He doesn't operate that way. But he does have a formula for blessing you so that you and I can bless the church. Let's keep on rapidly so we can close with the formula. Look at verse 10, my favorite verse in the Bible. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Let me pause right there. If you go look it up in the Greek, look at the original word, that word means the same as the words above. So instead of saying tithe and offerings, tithe and offerings, tithe and offerings, the word tithe here covers all giving to the church for this purpose. So I'm going to plug it in for you. Bring ye all the tithe and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church will not have room enough to receive it. Now, you know, God is really smart. God could have said, bring ye the tithe and offering to the storehouse. But that's not what he said. He put in a little three-letter word in there. What's the third word in there? Oh, I heard it. God, knowing us, said, members of Corona Church, if you want to have a partnership with me, bring ye all, that means the fair, the accurate amount. Bring ye all the tithe and offerings into the storehouse. And then he says that there may be meat in my house. Then the next words are powerful. Then he says, prove me. What does the word prove mean? Test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. It's even more powerful than test. Prove, test. Esther always tells me, no, prove is stronger than test. But he's saying, believe me. Believe I'm going to do this. He says, bring ye all the tithe to the storehouse and prove me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you, that's you and me, out so many blessings that we shall not have room enough to receive it. Why did God use the word all? I'm going to show you why he used the word all. Give me 1 minute. I have to get my pen out. God had a reason for using the word all. Now, here's how we're going to do. I'm going to give you a living example of why he did it. Suppose you just graduate from college, or you have a new job, or you just discovered you need to return tithe and offerings. So you look at your budget and you say, okay, honey, we're going to do a budget. Okay, let's sit down and get this budget worked out. Now go with me on this, because I kind of know how this works, because we've done this, and so have you. Monthly budget, $4,000. All right, mortgage, you write down mortgage, or rent, whatever it is. Let's say $1,500. You write down food, $350. I don't know if you're fat or thin or skinny. Probably for me, it's less. Now watch it. The Bible says, bring you how much? All the tithe and offering to the storehouse. And you go to budget down, you put down utilities, and then you put down, oh, the Lord knows I need a new car. Then you put down car gas, car gas, car gas. Y'all know what that means, right? And then, oh, man, the Lord, he loves animals. He loves nature. He loves dogs and rats. You got to have that annual pass to Disneyland. That's what that's all about. And you go, and you get down, and when you get to the end of your budget, for that month you've spent $3,800. Now, what is tithe on $4,400? And you've already spent how much? $3,800, which leaves you how much left? $200, which is what percentage of your tithe alone? 50%. Oh, and you have nothing for offering. That's why when people say they support their church through tithe, I laugh and say, I don't think so. Okay, God says, bring you how much? all the tithe and offerings into the storehouse. Okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm sorry, Lot, but this time, but the 38, I only have 200 left. But you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to write this little check for 200. And, of course, church, I'll make up later when I get a chance. I'll put a dollar in the offering. Can I hear that again? A dollar in the offering, and that'll be my budget for this month. And so we do this, and we write that check for $200, right? 50%, $200, and we put it in the tithe envelope, and we lick it, and we drop in the plate, and we stand on Sabbath. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and we're happy. And your tithe comes through. And God just decides to take a peek at it. The Bible says, bring you how much? All. And God opens it up and he says, oh, tithe from Fred. This is, let's see, 4,000. Fred returned how much? 200. Oh, no problem. We're what? Partners. We're partners. Are you with me on this now, church? We are partners. Okay, you do your part, I'll do mine. So God said, no problem, we're partners. He do his part, I'll do mine. All right, so Fred returned 50% of his tithe. No problem at all. I'm going to give him 50% of his air. So Fred goes, all day he can't breathe. Oh, my God, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. He's just been cheating God, and God's doing his part. Do you understand that, church? Was that vivid? Did you get that? God says, return how much? All your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Fair amount is all. But God doesn't treat us that way. Amen. That's why that first text says, I am the Lord, and I change that. Not. Therefore, you members are not dead. This is exactly why. Because if God treated us the way we treat God, all of us will be homeless. Well, maybe two of us might not. But I don't know which two. Only you know which two. The point is here. God says, bring ye all, return a fair tithe and offering to the storehouse. Remember I talked about that blessing thing at the beginning? But God has a plan. Look what the plan says. Once you return all, test me. He says, do it. Just start today. Return an honest tithe and an honest offering. People say, well, how about last month? I've been cheating God for years. You start where you are. Yeah, don't worry about last month or last year. You have an commitment with God, a partnership with God. You start right here. Do you know that if just 50% of all the members return an honest tithe and offering, that your church would have no financial problem? Am I right, preacher? No financial problem. But the funny thing about this is you're missing on the blessing God has given you and promised you. It's a promise. God said, you return the fair and honest tithe and offering. Then he says, test me. Prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. And what's the next word? And pour you out of blessing. He didn't, wait, listen to this. The word is pour. He didn't say, I'm going to throw you out of blessing. You know why he didn't say throw? Because you better catch to get that blessing. And some of you can't catch. God didn't say, I'm going to kick you out of blessing. You know why he didn't say kick? Because then you'd have to run and catch that blessing. No, you don't have to do anything for the blessing. God said he's going to do what, church? Pour you out. You know why I use the word pour? Because pour, you don't have to move. You stay right there. It's going to hit you. But the beauty about pour is if it hits me, it's going to run down to Pastor Gary and Sister Esther. It's going to saturate the whole church. You see, a partnership with God is a partnership with your church family. The way God blesses this community is through you. And you know what's funny? God cannot bless a thief. God is not a codependent. God is not an enabler. Some of you wonder, I make good money and I'm still struggling. I don't have much left over. Think about it. God promises, bring ye all faithful tithe and offering to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and test me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out the members of Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church such a blessing that they will not have room enough to receive it. Now, when you receive that blessing, he hasn't given you that blessing for you to get rich, even though you may. But he wants you to enrich both the church and the community. He blesses us so we can bless others. I have seen it year after year. I've been in this job 4 years. I have a stack of letters like that from members in this conference who've written me and said, Brian, unbelievable what's happened to the church. I tell you something else. I've discovered you can tell how spiritual and committed a church is by reading the back page of the bulletin. Take a look at the back page of your bulletin. Yep, you're looking at it. It's the finance page, right, preacher? Take a look at that, the next to back page in your bulletin. I'm here to challenge you as a church that this moment you make a commitment with God that you return a honest tithe and offerings, because God says, I will pour this church out a blessing till they shall not have room enough to receive it. But remember, God cannot and God will not bless a thief. We'll be back in about 4 or 5 months to do part two of how God is going to bless you so you can bless your community and your church. Thank you.